Hallelujah. He is worthy. He is worthy. For he is the one that has paid the price. Amen. He is worthy, the Bible says, to open the book when we stand before the Lamb of God. He will open the book. He has the records. He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that is holy. He alone is righteous and true. For it is his righteousness that he gives me in you. Hallelujah. Amen. It's his righteousness we've received. Oh, he's worthy. He is worthy. He is holy. He is righteous and true. There's none as wonderful and glorious as you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. We glorify you. Thank you for your presence, Father. Thank you for your great love. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That precious blood that says, you are free. Amen. It cries out mercy for you and me. Hallelujah. That precious blood is worthy. He is worthy. He gave that blood for us. Hallelujah. Woo. Blood represents life, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Life is in the blood. Amen. When we lay down our life, he literally laid down his life. He gave it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. First he left all of heaven. And then he left his life that he could have had here. He humbled himself and became a man. The Bible says and was obedient even to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. How many are willing to stay with the death of the cross? Amen. How many know he went to the cross? But how many know each of us has a cross, don't we? We have a cross to carry. Did you know that? Amen. We each have a cross. We've got a job to do in the kingdom, don't we? We have a life that we have to lay down. What fun, right? It can be. Amen. It's a journey. But there's a joy. Jesus saw the end. He saw you and I. He saw the victory from the beginning, didn't he? Amen. Glory to God. Well, welcome to church tonight. Hallelujah. It's all true before I start preaching. Hallelujah. There's joy in the house tonight, okay? It's all right if you smile, if you get a little excited, it's okay with me. You know, when I come up to preach, you know, I'll have everybody, you know, you can stand up and say, come on now, let's bring the word. Come on, Pastor Doug, here we go. Amen. We may as well. Glory to God. You know, but we're not carnal or anything. It doesn't mean you are. I know you're excited to be here tonight. God's got some things for us. Hallelujah. All right, if you have your Bible tonight, or your iPad, or your phone, whatever you're looking at your Bible on, just say, hey, this is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. It will change my life. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. I hear the word of God, and I become a doer of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that? Isn't that in the Bible, that we should be doers, not just hearers only, right? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, turn with me, if you will, for a minute to Acts chapter 2. And we will start in verse 1. Now here, I want us to look tonight at a few things. How many know that we are on a path as the disciples of the Lord? How many are his disciple tonight? How many know the difference? Most of you do. We've talked about it before. The disciple being what? A disciplined follower of the Lord. Now, if we're a disciplined follower, There's some things that we do. We become his disciple when we decide to be a learner. You say, well, what's a learner? That's somebody that begins to learn. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, he said, you know, come to me. My yoke's easy, right? If you come to him, his yoke is easy, his burden light. He said, come, learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And when we begin to become a learner of him, then we are studying after him, aren't we? We're thinking about the things that God has for us and what he would have us to do. Someone who is a disciple becomes, they discipline themselves, what? To hear the word of God. To go to church. To hear the word preached. To meditate on the word of God. To read the word of God. To study the word of God. Someone who's going to, what? Deny themselves. And they become determined to be obedient to the word of God and to what? The Spirit of God. How many know that the Spirit of God is the author of the Word of God? Amen? He knows what it says, and he knows how to guide us into all that truth. Now, here in Acts 2 really describes one of the first revivals since Jesus left the earth. Did you know there was a revival here in the book of Acts? Right here, the day of Pentecost is really a revival. Why do you say that? Because it was the first time the Holy Spirit was poured out. And see, revival is dependent upon the pouring out of the Holy Ghost into the earth. That's really what revival begins to be. Now, see, I wanted to talk about something else tonight, but the Lord wants to talk a little bit about revival tonight because it's something that he desires and that he had planned since the beginning of time. He really didn't want revival to ever stop. Because revival can come on purpose when we're obedient to what God has said, what Jesus had said. Now, Jesus had told them to go to Jerusalem, didn't he? He said, go and wait until you receive power from on high. There's coming a power. There's coming a presence of God himself to come and not just live in you, but to empower you and to completely submerge you into that power. We're going to receive something. It says here, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They're all sitting and waiting. And what happened is Jesus had told them where to go, and they knew where to go in Jerusalem. There was a lady named Mary. She wasn't the other Marys, but she had been married to quite a wealthy man, and she had a pretty large home. And the upper room actually was her living room. They had her house, the way her house was built, it was pretty good size. And they had been there many times. The disciples went there often. Jesus said to go prepare that. Remember when he told them, hey, go prepare the feast? Well, where did they know where to go? They knew where to go because this was a place where she had opened her home to Jesus and the disciples. And many times they had met there. Many times they had been there. And she had welcomed them. Her husband had passed away and she didn't have a lot else. Actually, her son, this is the mother of John Mark. And John Mark, of course, was one that went with Paul for a while. And we know that, hey, he was probably pretty young, but he had been in this upper room. He had experienced many things with the disciples. And so it would make sense. And Paul brought him along, yet maybe he was a little young. He didn't, you know, he was with them, but he went back. I'm going home. And he abandoned them. Later on, praise the Lord. Thank God for others in the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Barnabas took him up and helped him a little bit. Later on, Paul said, hey, send John Mark. He is beneficial for me in the ministry. Even if you messed up, even if you left it, even if you departed from the call of God in your life, don't draw back. Keep pressing in. It's not too late. God forgives. God gives another chance. Maybe you were young. Maybe you said, hey, I didn't have that discipline in my heart. I wasn't as disciplined as I thought I was or should be. I wasn't the disciple that I claimed, and I thought I had it in me, but somewhere along the way, I departed. Maybe you've fallen back, but here we have the account. They're in one accord. In the day of Pentecost had come, suddenly the winds came, and suddenly, I'm telling you, we are on the cusp of revival, and revival is coming right here to Canada. Every single nation, without fail, that has drawn back and church attendance has gone down, every single one is coming to revival. Do you know why? Because the people begin to pray. They begin to call upon God, those that were left, the remnants, those that have stayed, those that were faithful to God. I'm telling you, we are on the cusp of revival. You said, well, when's it coming, Pastor Doug? Well, it's going to come suddenly. That's all I'm going to tell you. It came suddenly on the day of Pentecost. They didn't know how long they were going to have to wait in Jerusalem for the power. Well, Jesus said a few days, 10 days. They waited. They continued to seek God. Now, probably they also did some business while they were there. I mean, it was, they were praying and so forth. They were in one accord in the sense that they are waiting for this power. They're waiting for the power of God. And there it came, and there appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So all these nations dwelt in Jerusalem. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and then the parts of Libya. Oh, wow, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these are full of new wine. These men are full of new wine. In other words, they've been drinking. They thought they're drunk. And Peter began to stand up with the 11, lifted up his voice. He said unto them, you men of Judea, all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing, but it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was possible that he should be holden. It was not possible that he should be holden of it. Hallelujah. They couldn't keep him down. He was going to be raised. Yes, here we have the first place of revival in the book of Acts since Jesus went on to heaven. Now, Jesus had several revivals, and we'll see some of that. But here I want us to see it was very sudden. It came suddenly, and I'm telling you, revival may come upon us suddenly. Now, we're pressing for it on purpose. You know, Jude said, contend earnestly, right? For the faith, what kind of faith? That was once delivered to the saints. The same kind of faith that Jesus operated in, the same kind of faith that the disciples operated in, the same kind of faith that they had in the early church at the book of Acts, the same kind of power, the same kind of spirit and fire that came on the day of Pentecost, the same kind of fire and spirit that you received when the Holy Spirit came upon you. That's the kind of fire. That is the kind of revival that God is talking about, where the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. People begin to hear in their own language. They understood them even though they were praying in other tongues. They were not praying necessarily in these different languages. They were just understanding in them. Hallelujah. The first time. We know that, right? What is that? The sign to the unbeliever, right? The sign to an unbeliever. They hear them speak in their own language, even though they may not be speaking in that language. And when God does that to you, it's going to be awesome. Amen. He may send you somewhere. Or there may be people, you know, group of people that don't know English, but they hear you and understand you, whatever language you speak. Hallelujah. Amen. And whether it be in tongues or in English, they understand you. They begin to hear the word of God and the truth of God. I know that's happened to me twice in my life that I know of. Just one-on-one. It wasn't with a large group of people, but one-on-one. They begin to understand what I was saying. I was like, wow, praise the Lord. How many want that? You know, when they need to come to Jesus, they need to hear and understand. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. It's not something that we conjure up that we can do in and of ourselves, but we can believe God. We can have faith and begin to believe God for revival in the earth. That means the outpouring of His glory, the outpouring of His Spirit, where lives are changed. We don't stay the same. Hallelujah. Now, we can look here a little bit further down, and we see in verse 41, let's start there and read just a little bit here. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now here we see the outpouring of God, and immediately Peter preaches, what can we do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You know, be baptized, repent, be baptized, come into the kingdom. And whoever what called upon the name of the Lord was saved. And here we got 3,000 that were born again. Now they had to keep them. They kept teaching, though. They kept learning. They became the disciples of the Lord. They did not stop the doctrine or the truth that God, that Jesus had imparted into the disciples. They continued to teach the same things that Jesus taught. They continued to preach the same things that Jesus preached. They started having miracles just like Jesus had miracles. And that is the point of being a disciple of the Lord, is being transformed into the image of Jesus. Amen? That we walk as He is, so are we in this world, yes, in our nature, but then also in our ability to perform. Whoever came to Jesus, were they not healed? Which one was not healed that came to Jesus, if you can find it in the Bible? Now, there was a few times He had to say something to them or teach them a little something, or He encouraged them. You know, He said, only believe. Remember the nobleman's servant who was sick, they came and, oh, you know, they're on the way. And the lady with the issue of blood comes up and touches the hem of His garment, and she gets healed, and they continue on their way. He's going to His house, and here comes the servants. What'd they say? Oh, don't worry about it. He's already dead. They already died. Don't bother. And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, only believe. He said, no. Only believe. He encouraged his faith. Only believe. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. Don't let it bother you. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't listen to what? The wrong report. Faith has something to do with revival. It's good. We have to pray, but we also must believe what Jesus has said. We have to see it. Can you see a little bit here? We see a little bit here of what revival may look like. Now, we haven't really experienced it fully yet, not in my lifetime anyway. There's been different revivals along the way, different things that have happened. Right after World War II, they had the Great Healing Move. How many knew, have heard about that at least? We weren't alive, but I wasn't alive anyway. But right there, World War II, from about 1947 to 1958, they had a healing revival. Came in, easiest in the world, mostly, you know, Oral Roberts was big, and him and Gordon Lindsay is over the Voice of Healing. Kind of got some things spearheaded. Branham, he was big at that time. Came in, and many others, and a lot of different people had great miracles. I mean, it just seemed like, they said it just seemed like it was just flowing like water. Easiest thing in the world. One Baptist guy had been saved 40 years, never once had prayed for the sick, started praying for the sick. He said, lo and behold, he said, I think we're getting everybody healed. Revival. See, revival changes lives. That's how I really defined it. When lives are changed. Somebody that's been preaching for 40 years had never prayed for the sick, and the sick are getting healed. Thank God. Amen. The truth had come. He began to see some things. And we're going to see these things, but we've got to see them in our spirit now. We've got to see these things taking place. Hallelujah. This is a picture of part of revival that God wants us to see. Hallelujah. What did they have? They're there. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There's going to be some teaching. There's going to be truth be brought forth. They fellowship. They broke bread together. They had prayers. We're not going to stop praying. Fear came upon a lot of people. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. and all that believed, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Some of them sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. See, we don't really think about that so much, but singleness of heart. What does that mean? That means they were true disciples of the Lord. Jesus said, if you're going to come and follow after me, what do we have to do first? He said, first, what we, as considering, we have to love everyone, what, less than we love Jesus? Less than our mother and father? Less than our brother and sister? He said, and even, what, our own life. If we hate not our own life, we don't lay down our own life. He said, you cannot. It is impossible. You cannot be my disciple. You're not going to walk in it. You're not going to be what I've called you to be. He said, well, where does the Bible say that in Luke chapter 14? Let's look at that for a minute and see what we're looking at. I know I'm kind of linking being a disciple, but they were his disciples. The ones that received revival were his disciples. Who else is going to receive the revival? Who else is there to perform the revival? It's his disciples. That's you and I. That's you. That's me. That's us. Amen. Let's start in verse 25, Luke 14. Now here there's a great multitude that comes around here and verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, hate is quite a strong word, we know that, but really to love less. Wouldn't it? We could say, hey, unless you love everyone else less than you love Jesus, our love for him has to be so consuming and so single-minded. See, they had a single heart. Their heart was singly for God. Didn't have anything else in there. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost did. He filled them. They were filled with power. They were filled with life. And he says, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, how many know what a cross is? What does the cross represent? That was a place of death, wasn't it? It was where the best of God met the worst of man. And Jesus died. He gave his all right there. He bled out at that cross. It's a place where we have to die. It's a crucifixion. It's a laying down of our life. That really is our cross that we pick up, that we really carry. It's a cross that says, I love Jesus more than my own life. And whatever he says, that's what I do. He said, whoever will come after me, if he doesn't bear his cross, hallelujah, if we don't decide we're going all the way to the place of death. You see, we've got to set our stake out. Yes, you know, many times, there's a lot of people, they'd give their life for somebody. They might give their physical life. But will you die to all your own desires, to all your own ambitions, to what you wanted to accomplish in life? I remember Oral Roberts saying he wanted to be the governor of Oklahoma. And then he got healed by the power of God. He had tuberculosis and he was healed and God called him to preach. And he had to make a decision, didn't he? And you and I, we have to make that decision in our life. Am I going to just play church or am I going to allow God to fill me and to use me? Am I going to be a disciple of His? Am I going to be a disciplined follower? Am I going to be a learner? Am I going to be someone that says, first of all, you know, I mean, it starts out, we've got to start somewhere, right? You know, when people come, it's you and I, they've got to give them a call. Hey, you coming to church today? How many know? Sometimes people got to get in the habit. Amen. They had never been to church, but they'll come. When there's revival, when the power of God is present, when there's signs and wonders and miracles, people are going to be coming from all over. And we're going to need each and every one of you. Because I got to be able to say, now, sister, these are the blind people over here. There's 120. I want you to get them all healed. Amen. And she'll say, oh, no problem, Pastor Doug. I'll take care of the blind people today. Joseph, now go over there and get those people out of the wheelchair. Oh, I forgot. Tony, you help her with the blind people. Whatever. Amen. That doesn't mean we have to lay hands on every single person. How many know? We can speak the word of God and it'll happen. And as we move forward, we're going to learn some things and we'll begin to grow together. We'll begin to see it together. We'll begin to speak the word of God and it can happen. Maybe blind see, and all the blind are seeing. And I'm telling you, now we may be in pandemonium because they're all excited. They're shouting, and we got the people that were cripples over here. They're running, right? Hallelujah. Do you see it? It looks like divine chaos to me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the people that need a new heart, they're over here. We got the stretchers over there. They can't even get up. Now, Vicki, you go help them. We hadn't even got to the deaf and the maimed yet. Hallelujah. Many signs and wonders were done. See, we talk about revival, and many people talk about revival. We could all go around the room and we'd all have our idea. Well, what do we need for revival? Well, brother, we need some fervent prayer. Yes, we do. Amen. We got to have fervent prayer. Oh, we need signs and wonders. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We talk to somebody else. What you got? But what it comes down to really is God's presence comes, the power of God comes in such a way that people's lives are changed in a moment, suddenly, in a moment of time. The one that was depressed is no longer depressed. They're set free. The demon possessed will be delivered. Now, Joseph, go over there and get them delivered. Anybody has any trouble? Now, I'm not saying we'll have to lay hands on everybody. I'm believing God. They come in, they're going to be delivered during the service. It's mostly going to be testifying how great God is and what He has done. They may be going out and getting their friends. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're a drug addict for 30 years and can't seem to get free, seems like your whole mind's gone and mama brought me. They say, where am I? Because they came too. They lost their mind, but they came through. Where am I? You're in church, son. In church? What am I doing here? God has set your mind free. You're now delivered. No longer desiring drugs. I think he might want to find his friends. How many know after a while, sin is fun for a season, but after a while, people get tired and they're just bound. See, that's how the devil works, doesn't he? A little at a time. Get you started. Oh, what fun and how much great it is until you're to a place where you're a slave. And you can't help it. You have to have the bottle. You've got to have the needle. See, it's how he works. What? Through deception of the mind, right? He brings that little desire. We give in, people give in a little bit. And it takes them down the wrong road till they can't get themselves free. But how many are looking for the power of God? the presence of God to such a degree? Are you hungry to know him? Daniel 11:32 said, they that don't know their God shall do exploits. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read it. I'm going to read this scripture. Daniel, I like this scripture. It's really just the last part of it, but I'll read the whole scripture. Daniel 11:32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Shall be strong and do exploits. They that what? Know their God. If you don't know him, what are we going to do? That's why we're having transformation time. That's why we are here praying and seeking God. It's just important to be transformed and to be prepared and ready. He's been saying to us, I don't know if you know that, but he's saying, pray, seek me, find me, worship me, pray in the Holy Ghost, fast, begin to worship me some more. Get into the Word of God. Read the Word. Meditate the Word of God. Read it again. Read it over and over. Why? Because we need you ready. If you have nothing in you, what does the Holy Ghost have to use? He said, well, he's got my body. Well, yes, he may be able to do a few miracles with you. But if I need you to teach something and you got no scripture in you, what are we going to do? Now go over there and get him filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can pray for him. But how many know it takes faith still? We're not going to be done with faith. It's still going to take faith for people to receive. They're still going to have to hear the Word of God. Did you hear what they said? They continued in the apostles' doctrine. That means the teachings of Jesus that were put on the inside of them, they continued to teach them. They were going house to house. They were continuing in the Word of God. The Word of God is not going to stop. The Word of God is part of revival. That's this book right here. Anything outside of that, we want to stay clear. We want to stay holy. We want to stay righteous. How many know the devil's trying to deter enough people right now? The same doctrines took place in the book of Jude where they said, hey, lasciviousness is okay. Whatever you want to do, hurrah, hooray. And Jude said, I wanted to talk to you about the common salvation that we all have, but I see a need right now in the body of Christ to talk to you, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And he began to draw a comparison between those that were righteous and those that were not. And finally, he said, here is how you're going to win. He said, you're not like those that have gone away or that are in lasciviousness, that are powerless, that don't have God to walk free in righteousness and holiness and refuse to do so. Yet they say they have Jesus. No, they don't. They don't know God. If they knew him, they would walk in righteousness and holiness. That's what we received when we were born again. That nature was changed. We are free, not to be our own person, but to walk with him. Free to walk in holiness. Free to serve him. Free to pursue him. To love him. To know him. Hallelujah. See, there's a certain amount of power that we don't realize that already lives on the inside of the born-again believer, whether they pray in tongues or not. They're already set free from sin. He said, sin shall not have dominion. The only real free people of the world are those that are born again. Those that are in sin are bound. They have to sin. They're bound to sin. They have a sin nature. It doesn't bother them to sin. Now, they may have somewhat of a conscience, somewhat of a moral conscience from their mother or father, what they were taught. But really, they don't care. You know, why would they? I wouldn't. I'd sin all I could. If I was a sinner, I'd be a good one. Why not? I mean, what is there to lose? Such as were, Ephesians said, right? Some of you. But now what? We're saved. We've been washed. We've been cleansed. We're his disciple. We're the one that wants to be like Jesus. then it's going to take something. It's going to make a decision. We have to decide something. We have to decide that we're going to be obedient to the Word of God, that we're going to put the Word of God first place in our life. Amen? And the Spirit of God. We're going to come to church and hear the Word of God. Why? Because God put pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers in the body of Christ, evangelists, for a reason. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the body of Christ, that we come, what? To the unity of the faith and to the fullness of Christ, that we grow up in Him, that we're transformed from that. Yes, we were transformed from darkness to light, and we received a new nature. But how many know it came in a seed form? You didn't come full grown. When you got born again, you got to still grow. You know, Jesus didn't come into the earth and say, well, Mary, Joseph, here I am. I just let you know I'm the Son of God. You know? Amen. Eh? He didn't come in talking and saying, here I am, the Son of the living God. He had to find that his way just like you do. The Bible said he grew, he learned. And he grew in those things, in favor with God and with man. Yeah, he began to discover certain things. So, well, when he was 12 years old, he was teaching them in the temple, and he was. And he was in a process of discovering himself and who he is. I think I was 13 when I first had the sense that God called me. I didn't know it, but some people started talking to me a little bit about it. He says, well, that's different, you know. And they said something to my parents, which, you know, I didn't understand fully. But I had to grow in that. Amen. You have to learn. We have to walk with God. He takes us one step at a time. It's here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept by precept. We grow and we mature into the things of God. And then the power of God has come. And we're coming and we are pursuing God to know Him. And when we know Him, see, if you don't know Him, how are you going to talk about something you don't know? There's lots of people say, well, I know God. No, you don't. What's He like? What's His nature? See, many people can't realize. Well, the Bible says God's love. Number one, He is love. He's also righteous. He's also holy. But you know, some people never experience God's holiness. I prayed sometimes so far, I thought it scared me. The holiness of God filled the house, filled the room. All by myself. I'm shaking. I thought, you know, if I opened, you know, I was afraid to open my eyes. I thought maybe Jesus was there, you know. His presence was there. God was there. The holiness of God was there. Sometimes it comes so strong you're afraid to say something. We've experienced tastes of it, but we have not experienced God. He wants us to experience Him and know Him. That's why we have to keep pursuing. We've got to keep praying. We've got to keep praying in other tongues, letting the Holy Spirit teach us and guide us and lead us into the fullness of all that God is. He is our teacher. He is our helper. He is our guide. Yes, we're going to have fellowship, but it's fellowship with God and one another. Hallelujah. Anyway, glory to God. Where are we? We were in Daniel 11:32. They that know their God shall do the exploits. And here they began, and they continued to walk with the Lord. This was the first revival. See, they'd seen other revivals. The disciples, this wasn't the first time they'd seen revival. But this is the first time they'd seen revival in themselves. And then reaching out into the world. Now, they saw Jesus operate in it. And they operated in some to a degree. But this was really the first time where the Holy Ghost was all over them, like it was over Jesus. And they began to see many wonders and signs done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. They had things in common. Every need began to be met. Hallelujah. I'm not saying we're going to have all, you have to sell your property and bring the money. Unless God says. If God says. But how many know there is a place in God where the little boy that needs some batteries for his toy is going to get it? The smallest need and the greatest need. Whatever it is, God's going to do it. I'm telling you, there's some things that we have not yet seen or touched. We are pressing toward, but we're going to have if we don't quit. If we don't quit. If we want to fold up and quit and draw back, God will let you. But on purpose, Jude said we can contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And when he begins to talk about it, see, you got to understand, Jude was a brother of Jesus. It says, Jude, the brother of James. James was the brother of Jesus. That means Jude was the brother of Jesus, or the half-brother, we might say. Because God was Jesus' father. But they had the same father that trained them in the natural. And Joseph was quite a man. He wasn't a poor man. He worked hard. Really, he was a construction worker. He was a construction man. Really had a construction business. You know, building houses and doing things. Wasn't just some little carpenter in his little shop. You know, we sing about Jesus in his carpenter shop. Maybe he made some tables and chairs and sold them. No, he made construction and he worked and he did block work and he did other things. I'm sure he did a lot of things, Joseph. And Jesus worked with him. I'm certain he saw it many times. They walked up the hill, up the top of that hill where they lived. I forget the name of the city now, but that's where most of the commerce was taking place. They had all the big rich banks up there, all the rich people. Then they come back down and walk that road back and forth, going up there to do business. Hallelujah. And I'm sure Jesus went with his father many times. Hallelujah. That's just a little extra. It's free. If you want to pay me for it, that's okay too. No. It's not my knowledge. It's just a give. Hallelujah. But here, you know, there is going to be these things. It's not just about the power of God. It's much more than that. It's more the presence of God, the life of God, the complete package of God, which is coming to hit the earth. That means they continued. You got to remember, they continued what? In prayers. They didn't stop praying. They taught the people to pray. When people come in, we're going to be teaching them to pray. We're going to teach them what? The apostles' doctrine. Sound doctrine. See, when Jude starts talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up is talking about building a house, really, or really to enlarge that house. Enlarge yourself to receive the things of God that are coming. It's talking about, he says, you will get larger. You will increase. Building it upon a foundation that is already strong. That you already understand. Repentance from dead works. Faith toward God. The doctrine of baptisms, right? You know there's more than one baptism? Amen. There's baptism in water. Baptism into the body of Christ. Baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of those you don't have much to do with. I mean, when you get baptized, get saved, you get baptized into the body of Christ. You're brought in, aren't you? You're part of the body. We get baptized in water. These are the doctrines of God. Faith toward God. What about the laying on of hands? That's thrown in there too. These are foundational truths that we need to know and should know, like the back of our hand. Just like you know every wrinkle in your body. You don't have any. You're young, the young people. Some people say, well, I don't have any wrinkles in my hand. No, but you got veins in there. You got other things. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, not much to know. It's just there. Praise the Lord. Well, it shouldn't be. Shouldn't be hard for us. Amen. How many know? We talked a little bit about what repentance was here. A change of mind. It's a decision that someone makes. So, well, I've been thinking about getting saved. Good. That's great. The mind's involved. You decided. Hey, I've decided what? To follow Jesus. You ever sing that song? No turning back, no turning back. Don't none go with me, yet I'm going to follow. Hallelujah. These are decisions. Life is full of decisions. But anyway, I hope I'm not. Am I getting off my subject? I probably am. We're talking about revival. Where lives are changed, where suddenly takes place, where all things are possible. There'd be nothing impossible. There is that place in God. Jesus talked about it in John 14, didn't he? Let's finish there. Let's just look there real quick. John 14. We read this a lot. But we'll read it again. He said, believe me that I am in the Father. Verse 11. John 14, 11. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, why would Jesus tell us that we could ask anything in his name? He'll do it if it's not possible. It is possible. But it's going to take a knowing him. It's going to take a disciple. It's going to take someone that is pursuing after God. Just laying down our life, deciding, hey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fill my mind with the Word of God. I'm going to read it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to pray the Word of God. I'm going to pray in other tongues and be a doer of what God had said. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to spend some time in fasting. And of course, if He speaks to me, I'm going to obey whatever He says. Amen. How many are getting hungry for God? How many want to know him? See, they that know their God will be what? Strong. We'll be strong. We're going to need some strength in these last days. We don't know everything that's going to happen, do we? We don't know what kind of persecution we may face. We're going to have to make our decision now while we can. While there's grace, pursue him. While there's a little bit of time to prepare, let's seek him. Let's honor him. Let's worship him. Lay our life down, amen? It's worth it. It's worth it. He wants you more than we want him. He desires his revival. He's wanted it for a long time. He's been desiring it forever. He's been looking forward to this last, well, this may be the last revival, but may not be. Well, Brother Doug, surely we're there. Well, I'm sure they thought that during World War I and World War II. We must be there. This must be the end. But one thing for sure, our generation can have revival and you can be a part of it. It is possible. He looked for a man, for an intercessor who would stand in the gap. It can be done with one. However, it's going to be a whole lot better when we have more than one. Amen. How many are going to believe with me? How many see 100 people, minimum of 100 people here? How many can see it with your eye? Let's call it into being. Amen. That could be our starting point. 100 strong in Jesus' name. Brother, we're going to go up from there. That's our starting point. I said, hey, we're going up from there. It could be 300. I'm saying minimum. You know, if 100 people get saved tomorrow, I got to make some phone calls to you. Help! We got 100 babies in the house. Amen. They had 3,000 babies in the house. Suddenly. 120 people. Let's believe God. Amen. Let's pray, but let's believe God. Let's see it with our eye. Let's see that revival. You see the blind seeing. You see the deaf hearing. You see the lame walking over here. Amen. Do you see somebody that's been out of their mind? They blew their mind with drugs. Coming, they're free. They're in the right mind. They can receive Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know all things are possible? We may have a room for them back here. Who knows? Well, he kind of gets loud sometimes. Oh, we'll just put him back here. You know, put him in the padded room. A couple days later, we've been busy with revival. Here they come. I'm free. Jesus set me free. Amen. Or somebody just got healed, ran back there and set them free. Wasn't even any of us. I saw this one time. I'll talk about that some other time. Let's call it a night. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for vision of revival, for truth, Lord God, that we can see revival, Lord, that it is coming. Lord, we're not wondering. We're not wanting it to happen. We are believing for it to take place, Father, and we are pursuing you in readiness of heart, in singleness of heart, Lord, that we might know you, Lord, that we might be strong and do exploits, Father, with you. Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to know you as never before, Lord. We do know you as far as we know. But Father, we know there's more of you to know. So Father, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to draw us, to give us grace, to continue to enter in, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to worship God, to meditate in your word, Father God, and to seek after you, Lord, and obey your commands. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father. Amen.